friends, the title of my message this morning is, Do You Know the King of Kings as Your Savior and Lord of Lords? Do you know the King of Kings and the Savior as your Savior and Lord of Lords? We've read from Luke and from Matthew those familiar words from the happenings at the first Christmas time when Christ was born. And we've thought much about this in just a few weeks ago over the Christmas period, about the coming of the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. Now this morning, I would like to draw some gospel arguments from the biblical record of the experience of the shepherds and the wise men. So although the passages are very familiar, let us not treat them with any contempt, but let us listen to the gospel arguments that the Lord has shown me to bring from these passages. So firstly, let us consider the shepherds. As you know, these are ordinary men going about their business of protecting their sheep from wolves and other dangers on the hillside. They lived with the sheep to do that. And I believe that these men were believers in the Lord God, chosen to receive the wonderful news of the birth of the Savior. We remind ourselves that God has his elect people, chosen before the foundation of the world, those for whom Christ died. And we glorify the name of Christ, for those for whom he died, none, not one, shall be lost. All will be saved for whom Christ died. So there they were on the hillside at night, watching over their sheep. Initially, an ordinary night, the same as another. But this one was going to be different. They saw the vast universe above them, the moon, the stars, the planets, showing the handiwork of God in creation. They would have believed the Genesis account of creation. All things were made by the Lord God, by the word of his power. They would know the writings of Moses. They would know the writings of the prophets. They would know the writings of David. And we're reminded that David's experience of looking up as a shepherd into the skies in Psalm 8, verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy hands, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. And also in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Have you seen the night sky? It's impossible to do it properly in London. Too much light, too much gets in the way. We need to be out in the countryside on a clear night. And if we look up, we will see the heavens, the same heavens that David saw, the same heavens that these shepherds saw. Multitudes of stars, the moon at night, and the planets that were there, created by God in time past. So there's a great wonder of the night sky, and we can only see it when we move away from the light of this world. And so, spiritually, we can only see the truth of God when we move away from the errors of this world. The truth of God's word can only be seen when we draw to one side to read and meditate upon it. So this is what we should do. Are you minded to worship the one true God, the creator of all things and the giver and sustainer of life, as they did? Now suddenly on that evening, The angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, bringing God's message of good tidings of great joy, which should be to all people. They were told that Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, the Savior, was born, that he was born and laid in a manger in swaddling clothes. And so the message from the angel to the shepherds can be likened to the call of the gospel today. The Lord says, come and worship me, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of sinners. Have you heard this call? Will you respond in a proper way? Come and worship the King of Kings, the Savior of sinners, is the call that we receive now. I hope that you would agree with me that the gospel message from heaven is good tidings for all people. And it's a message which brings great joy to the person who sincerely responds in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus, responds to come as requested. Now, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and King, we know forgiveness of sin and have peace with God. He is our King and our Lord. The gospel is God's eternal plan to save his people from their sins. The covenant of grace was eternally agreed within the Godhead, the eternal Father, eternal Son, and eternal Holy Spirit. And together they covenanted and elected to save a people to themselves, a people to Christ. That's the gospel. A Savior was come and has come. This is God's sovereign prerogative to save his people. God is sovereign. He is sovereign in creation. He is sovereign in providence, all the things that happen. And he is providence in redemption, in salvation. So he is sovereign. He rules all things. Nothing happens by chance. Do you live by chance? Do you live in a world of thoughts where this happened? Oh dear, that was unlucky. This happened. Why was that? Yes, do ask why these things happen, because God is speaking to us through all the sovereign interventions in our lives. As he was speaking to these shepherds, as he sovereignly intervened in their watching over their sheep by night. You'll remember in Matthew 1 that the angel spoke to Joseph and telling him that Mary was with child, but that child was of the Holy Spirit, was going to be the eternal Son of God. So do not put her away, Joseph. Love her, carry on, marry her, protect her, care for her. Be the father of this child as a stepfather, not the actual father. You do know, don't you, that if Mary had conceived of Joseph to give birth to Jesus, then Jesus could not be our Savior, for he would have inherited through Joseph, through Adam, the spiritual deadness that Adam found when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. No, this child had to be born of God, born of the Holy Spirit, a miraculous conception, a miraculous birth. So the angel also told Joseph to call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sin. What a wonderful name, Jesus, Savior, to save from sin. The gospel preacher tells you that Jesus is the Savior of sinners and invites you to go to him in repentance and faith to find peace and reconciliation with your Creator. The shepherds were in the right place at the right time, and so are you today. You're attending a gospel preaching church and are at the gospel service. And These are gospel thoughts that I am bringing to you from the historic record of the shepherds being called to go to Bethlehem. So the shepherds heard the message from God and received it gladly. Will you receive this message today gladly and act upon it without delay? Let's know what they did. They believed it and acted upon it immediately. They left their daily concern and went immediately to the stable in Bethlehem where Christ was as that babe, just a few hours old. Now, are you ever tempted to delay, to hold back from attending church? Sometimes, do you have something you feel is more important to do than attending church on the Lord's Day? So breaking the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Is that a commandment which rules in your life? It should do. All the commandments are still for today. None have been left aside. There are some who have discounted this one and said, we don't have to keep the Sabbath day. We can go to church and then we can do what we like. That's not true. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We are to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day. We've three opportunities in this church on the Lord's day to come to church. We have the gospel service at 11 a.m. We have the teaching service at 6 p.m. And we do have the working part of the church for the church fellowship in Sunday school, Bible class and college class at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we're pleased that some come all three times. Sadly, some only come once when maybe they could come more times. We know there are duties. We know there are responsibilities. But if you remember, the shepherds left their responsibilities of keeping the sheep, an important job. They left that responsibility in the hands of the Lord and went to Bethlehem, to the manger, to worship the Lord. So let's not cling on to things which get in the way of putting ourselves in the way of blessing under the sound of the gospel, under the worship of the Lord in his church. We thank the Lord for this, our church, how quite a number of years ago, 15 or more, it almost closed and it almost shut down. But help was sought, help was provided from the Lord, from the Metropolitan Tabernacle, which we thank them for immensely, and for the raising up of Pastor Hiley, who was called to be the pastor of this church. And then when he had to go to Indianapolis in America, the Lord provided very soon, very quickly, Pastor Darren, who's been our pastor for quite a number of years now. So we have the opportunity in this church, which is now alive in Christ and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and teaching it to the children. So the shepherds were blessed as they went with haste to worship the Lord. Going to worship the Lord as their Savior was the most important thing to them. Now, although they went as a group, they also went as individuals. They went to where Christ was, to the stable in Bethlehem. Now, if they had left it a day longer, if they said, we'll go tomorrow, we'll leave it a while, then maybe Christ would have moved on, because it was very soon, as we know, that Joseph and Mary took the child and dwelt in a house in Bethlehem. They were not in the stable for that long. So if they delayed, they would have missed the opportunity to go and worship the Savior. And that's a lesson to us, a spiritual lesson, a challenge, that if we delay, they knew of the Savior being born, they knew he was there, but if they delayed, they would have missed being able to worship him. And if you delay in coming to Christ, behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I encourage you not to delay, to come to Christ now, inquire about him, read his word, find out more about him. I'm calling you today to come personally to the Lord Jesus Christ, to meet him where he is today. Not in a stable, not in a manger. No, things have happened since then. He is now sitting in heaven on the throne of grace, having died on the cross. He lived to be a man of about 33 years, and there a perfect man. And there he went to Calvary to die. The reason he came was to die. He came to die for sinners, his people, as we have said. So he died there, taking the punishment for sin, not his own, because he was perfect, but ours, if we would repent and believe. Now, wonderfully and miraculously, he rose again from the dead on the third day, according to the scriptures. And he now, 40 days later after that, he ascended into heaven with the promise that he would return again one day. That's not happened yet. That's still to come. That will be the judgment day. That will be the end of time, the end of our opportunity to come, which is why I'm pleading with you not to delay. Today is the day of salvation. Do you have any heartfelt sorrow for the sin in your life? What is your sin? Well, the Lord knows, and you know, because the Lord has written on your hearts the Ten Commandments. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your being? We can't do that. Have you honored his name? Have you taken his name as a swear word? Or even sung a hymn without meaning it, which is taking the name of the Lord in vain? We have sinned. We have not honored our fathers and mothers. We've not kept the Sabbath day as we have thought. We have lied. We have stolen. We have hated. We have coveted. And Lord knows all our hearts. He knows all our sins. And he is convicting us of them. I pray that you will feel a heartfelt conviction of your sin of pride, rebellion, and unbelief, even for a lack of interest and indifference which you may have. Well, the shepherds rejoiced as they worshipped the Saviour and went away praising their God with great joy in their hearts. They witnessed to others of what they had seen and heard. And this is a sign of true conversion. Is it evident in your life? Do you have a testimony of saving faith in Jesus Christ? Can you write it down? Was there a time when it came upon you that your sins needed to be cleansed and washed away, and you believed in the Saviour dying on the cross? So what is our response? Do we have a testimony? I remember my conversion at the age of 13. That's 70 years ago, this coming September. I lived in the village of Gotherington in Gloucestershire and attended a Sunday school and evening gospel service in a small gospel hall. The preaching was Arminian, free will. I could believe and then I could be lost. Not true, but they did preach a gospel. Come to Christ, repent of your sin. So God in his mercy convicted me of my sin as I heard the call to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ at that age of 13. I repented, found his forgiveness, and grew in biblical knowledge. I came to see the beautiful and accept the doctrines of grace at the age of 23, 10 years later. But the Lord taught me and blessed me in the truth of his word. Do you have this experience? Let's move on now to the wise men. These were men from Babylon in the east. And this was the place where faithful Daniel, 1620 BC to 536 BC, he'd been taken as a captive from Jerusalem about 600 years earlier. And Daniel would have left scripture for others to read, and these wise men would have studied what Daniel had left. They believed in Almighty God and his word. Do you? That's the first lesson we would learn from these wise men. They believed. They knew there was a God. They understood some of the writings that Daniel had left behind, not only his own, but those of Moses and those of the prophets. And they would have been intrigued by the reference to the coming Saviour. That would have been in our Old Testament. Do you read the Old Testament with interest in the promises of a Saviour and the New Testament in the fulfillment of those promises? Does this excite your soul? They were astronomers who studied the night sky and marveled at it, just like David and the shepherds did, to the glory of God, their Creator. God drew their attention and interest to a special, unique star, a moving star, unlike any other that they had ever experienced in the night sky. It moved, leading towards Israel, and unbeknown to them, finally to Bethlehem, where Christ was. We read in Numbers 24:17, "There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." That star was Christ, of course, but this star was leading them to Christ. They felt compelled to follow it, and so set off on a journey of approximately 550 miles. Their transport would have been their camels. And again, I would say, they did not delay. If they'd waited to the next day, maybe that star would have disappeared. It was there to draw them to move now. They came or followed now. They knew from the scriptures that they had read that they were in search of a baby, a king, one born to be king, the King of the Jews, Emmanuel, God with us, a very special baby and a very special star to lead them to where he was. Now, we do not have a star to guide us. We do not need one. We do not need to go to Bethlehem. We have something far better: God's word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you compelled to follow God's instructions to find the Savior? God's word now tells us of a spiritual journey to the foot of the cross, to the mercy seat, to the throne of grace. That is where we must come now to find the peace for our souls. So I repeat, as I said earlier, I am calling you today to personally come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to meet him where he is today. We know he is sitting in heaven on the throne of grace, the mercy seat. He's died upon the cross at the age of approximately 33. He took the punishment of sin, not his own, but the sin of those who would trust him, his people, and ours, if we would sincerely repent and believe. Wonderfully, we remind ourselves again that on the third day he rose according to the scripture, and after 40 days he ascended into heaven, promising to come again. But in the upper room, the Lord Jesus had spoken to his disciples in John 14 to John 17, those wonderful words, and he said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will come again. I will take you to where I am." Are these promises that mean something to you? Do these cheer your soul? Do these challenge you? For without forgiveness of sin, you cannot follow in this way. So I ask again, do you have a heartfelt sorrow for your sin of pride, rebellion, unbelief, and even for the maybe a lack of interest and indifference that you might have? So, on arriving at Jerusalem, the wise men assumed wrongly that the king of the Jews would be born in the king's palace. So they went into Herod's palace inquiring, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Well, we know the mock interest that Herod showed and the false interest. We trust we will never have the same interest that Herod had, and that was to do away with Christ, to put him away out of thought and even existence. No, the scribes and Pharisees were inquired of, and they reminded that in Micah 5:2 that it was in Bethlehem in Judah which was where Christ would be for them to go and worship him. So that's where they were directed. And so we realize that going to the wrong place, we will not find peace with God there. If it's a place of our own making, of our own assumption, the wise men assumed that a king would live in a palace, but not this king. This king was the King of Kings and was humbled to come from heaven to earth to be placed in a manger and then in a home. The Lord had provided a saviour. So they were directed to Bethlehem, and when they came out of the palace, the star appeared again and took them and hovered over the house where the Lord Jesus was. How would they know which house to go to if the star had not taken them to the very spot? And the scripture takes us to the very spot of where we must come to find peace and rest with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we encourage you to read your Bibles, to come to all the meetings, come to the Bible study on Wednesday and learn of more glories of God, come to the prayer meeting Monday nights to praise our God for what he has said and done. So how important it is to follow the scriptural teaching. This is where we will find Christ, and in the scripture alone. So the wise men rejoiced as they worshipped the Saviour, and they brought their gifts, didn't they? Gold for a king. Christ is the King of Kings. Frankincense for a sweet-smelling Saviour. Christ's death and righteousness is acceptable to God as a sweet-smelling savour. And myrrh for his later death and burial. Three wonderful gifts. They knew so much about who this child was that they had come to worship. And they went away praising God with great joy in their hearts, being warned of the angel not to go back via Herod, for Herod had evil intentions, but to go on their way rejoicing back to the east from where they'd come. And they had a testimony. They would tell others of what they had heard and seen, and of the star, and of the child Christ in the home in Bethlehem. So they witnessed to others what they had heard and seen. And this is again a sign of true conversion. We thought of it earlier. Is it evident in your life? Do you have a testimony of your conviction of sin and your new birth, the result of quickening work of the Holy Spirit? Is this your testimony? Tonight has been announced in our 6 o'clock evening service. At the end of it, we will hold a baptismal service where two believers, Hannah and Linda, will be baptized because of their faith in Jesus Christ. They will both give their testimonies of how the Lord called them, gave them the gift of faith unto repentance and acceptance with God. You will hear their testimony. Do come. You will hear their testimonies of this is what has happened in their experience. And those of us who have the same experience will rejoice with them over this testimony that they will give. You will hear how all their own efforts to solve their own consciences of the guilt of their sin were of no avail. All the efforts they made, this way, that way, the other way, none worked. It was purely by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ that they found forgiveness. They will testify that it was Christ who saved them by his finished work upon the cross of Calvary. You remember when Christ died, just before he gave up his life, and he gave it up, it was not taken from him. He said, "It is finished." The work was done, the transaction complete. He had covenanted with his Father and with the Holy Spirit in eternity past to die in the place of God's elect people. And he had done that. It was complete. We often say, none shall be lost for whom Christ died. We have that confidence in the gospel of Christ. So, Hannah and Linda, along with others who have believed over time, and we ourselves, if we have this experience, are fully justified. The moment we sincerely believed, we are justified, just as if we had never sinned. What a wonderful position that is, reconciled to God, pleading his shed blood and righteousness at this wonderful throne of grace. They will tell you that they both came through conviction of conscience to the right place at the right time, the foot of the cross, the mercy seat, the throne of grace. They will tell you that they hate sin and love the Savior and now want to serve him as they grow in sanctification, to grow more like the Lord Jesus Christ day by day. So, in conclusion, we have learnt many spiritual lessons from the shepherds and the wise men. I trust you have heard them and understand them. So the question is asked, do you know the King of Kings as your Saviour and Lord of Lords? Come to him now.